Okay, we're going to continue on with our study on locating ourselves, you know, and the first thing we considered was how Christian are you, and we found out that we need to live our lives under grace and understand that we're righteous because of what Jesus did, and we're justified by the blood of Jesus only. We're righteous by faith. And then we had to ask ourselves, how Christian is God? Is he a demanding God that demands you follow the letter of the law? Or is he someone like a loving heavenly Father who has already saved you and put you into the dispensation of grace? And he says to believe on his Son and believe the love that God has for us. How Christian is your God? Now, we're going to look at a very important one. How do you see yourself? Open up your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And I know you've heard this said before, that hindsight is 20/20. I can see me at a crossroads in the early 80s in junior high, walking into the school library, just looking around, and I happened to cross this book from this guy I never even heard of. But I pulled it out, and it was, as a man seeth in his heart, so is he. As a man believeth in his heart, so is he. By Kenneth Hagin. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I started reading that book, and then it started kind of letting me know that I needed to be born again. And I closed that book up tight and took it back to the shelf and went and found something else to read. You know, I've often wondered what would have happened if I would have just latched onto that book. That was my answer. That was my answer. God was giving me a chance. How many Christian books do you find in the school library now? Well, I didn't have a very good look of myself back then. But as a man, it's important to find out how you're looking at yourself. The way you're looking at yourself, you need to measure it with the way God sees you. Because God sees you a lot differently than the way you see yourself. In Luke chapter 14, you know, or Luke chapter 24, you don't have to go there, but it talks about the guys on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking along, and Jesus showed up and said, and he started talking to them and said, why are you so down? And they said, well, they crucified our Lord. And he had himself concealed. But he kept talking to them and talking to them and talking to them. And then pretty soon they realized who was with them, and he disappeared. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he was talking to us? What happened? They got a revelation. Look at Luke 24, verse 6. And, you know, we kind of take this, you know, like it's, we understand it pretty easily, but it's what we base our life on. But here's the thing, Luke chapter 24, verse 6, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. We know that. But these guys that had been with Jesus were kind of having a hard time catching up with this revelation at the time. They thought it was all over. A lot of them expected Jesus to return the kingdom back to the Jews. And then they seen him on the cross. They seen him go through his passion. They seen him carry his cross to the Golgotha. And then they seen him on the cross. They seen the Roman soldier thrust his spear in his side. See, we never seen that. We didn't hear the whips on his back. We didn't see the soldiers. We didn't see the blood. We heard the word, and it took a hold of us, and we believed it, which is what we're supposed to do. These guys had heard the word, but they also seen something very shaking. So they were having a little bit of a struggle getting caught up with this. But once they realized it, then they took off. But we need to understand how you look at each situation is determined by how you see yourself. I can take two different people, and put them in the same situation with the same goal in mind. One will attack it and be convinced that he can win, and another will stay back and say it's impossible. See, one thing I learned in life and in the Bible is that the only limitations that you have on your life are the ones that you accept from another man. See, I had accepted a lot of limitations on my life when I was a kid. A lot of people told me all these things that I couldn't do, told me all these things that were out of my reach, and told me all these things that, you know, you're just not qualified to do that. And I bought into it hook, line, and sinker. You know, there's a lot of people running around that are in the same shoes. There's a lot of people, you see them every day here in town. They don't think they can succeed because they don't have the right education. They don't have the right color of skin. They don't think they can succeed because they don't have enough talent. Because they don't have enough this or enough that. Or they're from the wrong side of town. They didn't get that idea from God. And what I tell a lot of people, if they're Americans, I said, you have a constitution. You have God-given rights that are protected by the Constitution. And the Constitution does not limit you like you limit you. Let's look at Numbers chapter 13. All the way back to Numbers. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. The children of Israel, that Moses picked out 12 spies to go in and spy out the promised land. And two of them came back with a good report, and 10 of them came back with a bad report. But let's look at, and we're going to compare these. Remember, we can find things that belong on each side of the cross, even in the Old Testament. The wrong side of the cross will be verse 33. There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. They said, they seen themselves as being tiny in the sight of those giants. Didn't God tell them He had already given that land into their hands? Didn't God tell him He would go before them and clean out the giants? Didn't God tell them that He would divide that land unto them? They had the promise of God laid in their lap. But because of the way they seen themselves, their challenge was insurmountable. But look at Numbers verse 13, or verse 30, chapter 13, verse 30. Caleb, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." These are the same people. God gave them the same promise. They went to the same place. They seen the same grapes where it took two people to carry out a thing of grapes. What do you call those? A what? A bundle. Whatever. They'd carry them between a stick. They seen the same giants, the same challenges, the same problems. Notice, two people wanted to attack the problem and 10 people wanted to run from the problem. They had the same promise as God. We have people in this country that have the same constitution, they have the same Bibles, they have the same Lord, the same Savior, and a handful will run to the problem knowing that they're victorious in the name of Jesus, that they've got all these things behind them, and a bunch of people that will lay back and say, "You can't do that." And they'll be looking at the very same problem. You know, every single person in this town has to look at their financial challenges. They have to look at their physical challenges. Did you know they all have basically the same challenges? Well, we have some that go head first into it and win, and we have some that try to run from it or try to not ever talk about it, hope it goes away. I got news for you. You can play possum, but the devil's not going away. If you don't make him go away, he's not going anywhere. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. One Samuel chapter 17, verse 11. We're going to start off on the wrong side of the cross. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Didn't he get anointed to be king? Didn't he have promises from God? Didn't he have all of the armies behind him? But they were afraid of this situation. Now, let's get over to verse 26, over on the other side. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep, Bethlehem, and the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David, his son, "Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these 10 loaves, run to the camp of thy brother. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain. Unto the captain of their thousands, and look how the brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench of the host, was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath, by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David spoke to the men and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Circle that one. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? These guys, we're looking at the very same problem, the very same giant that was standing in front of David was the very same giant that was standing in front of the army, that was the very same giant that was standing in front of the king. only one of them seen this challenge as something that he could stand over. Why? He showed it right there. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He basically, what he was saying was, I have a covenant with God, not him. And David had already practiced his covenant with God when he was herding sheep. When a lion came down and got one of the lambs, he went up, grabbed him by the beard and beat him with the stick, got his lamb back. I haven't tried beating on a lion with a stick. But David did it. And he got a bear, too. What was he doing? He was practicing his covenant out in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, there he was, standing in front of the giant that had all the army of Israel terrified. Now, something you need to understand about David was God sent the prophet to David's dad's house. Said, you're going to anoint me a king there. So, naturally, following with the Jewish tradition, they started with the oldest. And said, no, that's not him. So they went to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. They finally ran out of kids, and they said, well, there's one more. He's a Rudy little boy. He takes care of the sheep. Rudy means he's little. David was not a big, giant man. They said, the Bible says that Saul stood a head above everybody else in Jerusalem. But not David. David was short. So in the natural, he might have looked at himself as being too small to even be in the army. But he didn't look at himself in the natural. He looked at himself according to the covenant. And he went and took that giant out. He seen himself differently than his brothers, than the army of God, all them people. You know, all them people had been given the Word of God. They had the same covenant. One of them believed it, and he took it by faith and operated in it. A whole bunch of them didn't. They had the same challenge, the same problems. We see it every day. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 10. Gideon, you remember him? He was hiding, threshing wheat. Their enemies had come into them and taken them over, and then they'd robbed them of everything they had, and it was dangerous to even be seen out in daylight because their enemies come down and get them. Well, Gideon was down there threshing wheat out of the sight of anybody, hoping not to be seen. And an angel of the Lord showed up and said, "Gideon, you man of valor, you." Well, Gideon, he didn't see himself as a man of valor. And then this angel went on to say, "You're going to set these people free." Gideon had a low self-esteem, you know, and that he was hiding, and rightfully so, from his enemies. But here's the thing, he had a covenant with God, and he's hiding away. And he had to be reminded of who he is. He had to have somebody tell him directly that he was a man of valor. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Verse 6. Yeah, Joshua chapter 14. Verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." And Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, when since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, on this day, 85 years old, 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain wherever the Lord spoke in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. There's Joshua. He didn't forget what God told him. 45 years later, 85 years old, and he's ready to charge that mountain and go up there and take it. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew his covenant. He seen himself the way God seen him. Strong and able and ready to charge that mountain. You know, look at Joshua chapter 15, verse 13. Go back to Joshua chapter 14. In verse 8, it says, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." He didn't get caught up in anybody else's ideas. He didn't get caught up in anybody else's fear. He didn't get caught up on anything anybody else said. He just got caught up in what God told him. He wholly followed God. Now go to Joshua chapter 15, verse 13. "Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is in Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak." You know those were giants? Those were giants. Caleb went in there and chased away giants. You could say those were big problems. And he chased them away in multitudes. Sometimes if we focus on our problems and just look, if that's all we look at is our problems will be magnified. You notice they'll get great big and bigger and bigger and bigger. And worse than what they really are. But if we focus on God and focus on His promises and focus on His covenant, those problems seem to shrink. That doesn't mean that the problem just disappears. The problem's still there. But you're seeing it from a different angle. You're seeing it from victory land instead of being under the circumstances. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world." You know, the minute you got born again, you actually overcame your problems. Then why are they still there? Because just like the guys on the road to Emmaus, we have to have a revelation of what happened. And sometimes it takes us a little while to catch up to what God did to us, catch up to what He's doing to us now. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. I used to pray really, really loud. I'd be out in the country and I'd pray really, really loud. Like I was trying to reach the heavens. And when I finally caught up with that verse and realized He's right there, got a revelation of that, a true understanding of that, my prayers got a lot quieter. But Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus explains to us that whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So that you can do even greater things than what he did, because he goes on to the Father. To get to there, we have to understand that he's in here. And once we understand that it's him doing that, we don't have to be so cool anymore. I remember being so frustrated, trying so hard to do the things, you know, that they were teaching us in Bible school, and you know, and after, and even after getting out of there, just wanting to do the things in the kingdom and trying so hard and doing my very best to live the way I was supposed to. And I'd make a mistake, and I just, pretty soon I was so beat down that I said, man, I can't do this. Because I was so performance-based. And I'm not alone in this battle. There's a lot of people that think, man, I got to do this right. I got to do that right. I got to be here. I got to be there. I got to do this. I got to do that. And if I get all that accomplished, then I'm in good with God. And then when we make a mistake, it breaks us, because then all of a sudden we're not in good with God. What happened? We got saved by grace, and somehow we picked up the works of the law in order to maintain our righteousness. It gets taught all the time. When we understand that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did, and we got made righteous the very minute we got born again, and that we're not going to lose our righteousness if we make a mistake. Because righteousness is right standing. It's not right doing. I know a lot of people want it to be right doing, but it's just not. Look at John chapter 14, verse 17. John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. We're so tied to God. The minute you get born again, you are so tied to God, you won't get ripped out of there. He said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Because he lives, we can have a positive outlook on our life. I can't stress this enough. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I was eating lunch with, there was four of us, there were four preachers sitting at this table. And the one was all the flame. I mean, he was all the talk. Everybody was on him. And I mean, he was the cat's meow. Explaining to us how you get the Holy Spirit and he's always with you. But if you sin, he just kind of steps off to the side. And then when you get yourself back right with God, he comes back in. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you kidding me? And I didn't say anything, but I thought, that is insane. All I could think of, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, within a year, I was preaching to that man in prison. He was in jail, and I was preaching to him. Why? He got into this performance-based religion, and he forgot the very basics of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when he did make a mistake, he really shifted. And then he made another mistake and he shifted even farther. And then he made another mistake and he turned into a wild man. And the only thing that could get him contained was the law. They got him. But he was really a hot rod in the faith movement for a while. And then it was just words. Because he didn't understand who he was. And he had a bad look on problems because he had a bad look on himself. We all got the same problems, the same challenges. Some people are healthy, I know, and some people are sick. But every one of us has to face the challenge of health, don't we? We can't avoid it. Every one of us has to face the challenge of finances. Whether you're born a millionaire or born into poverty, did you know millionaires, they have to face financial challenges all the time too? They just play with bigger chips. But they still got to face financial challenges. But it's how we look at those challenges. It's how we look at ourselves. The way we see ourselves is the way we're going to look at our challenges. If we see ourselves the way God sees us, we're going to look at those challenges as not being much. If, however, we don't see ourselves the way God sees us, we may look at those challenges as being impossible. But God said that we could do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Our challenges will be beaten by the Word of God through His anointing. Jesus said to talk to your mountain. He did not say anything about talking about your mountain. Almost every day, I hear people talking about their mountain. Very rarely do I find somebody talking to their mountain. You talk to your financial problem. You talk to your health problem. You talk to whatever problem it is you may have. You talk to it. Don't talk about it. And certainly don't claim it as your own. That drives me nuts. I'll be talking to people and say, how are you doing? Say, well, my cancer is getting more aggressive. Or my high blood pressure is just doing this. And it's like, stop. Stop. Get back to the Word of God and the very basics. The very basic, and you win. That's all I got. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We praise you for Holy Spirit, who's always here.